The Internet, the final frontier.
There in internet land, welcome to a very special episode of Boldly Going Nowhere here live at AwesomeCon 2017. And as always, we have the distinct pleasure to have Ming Chen of Comic Book Men on the show once again. Ming, how are you?
What's going on? I can never pass a microphone that I cannot talk into.
Yeah,
so
you know what?
Thanks for indulging me.
No, we're happy to have you on again. You know, it's always great to have a fellow comic book lover on the show. So I got to ask you a question.
Ask away.
I heard fairly recently you just opened a comic book store in Houston.
Wow, right? God, you did your homework. All right,
a little bit. It's just I just found out about it. So I mean, you open it with a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
And it's a coffee shop, a comic book shop, and I think there was swords in the title.
Gaming. It is called Coral Sword, which is a reference to Final Fantasy. It's a pretty badass weapon in the Final Fantasy universe.
Okay.
Called the Coral Sword.
Mm-hmm.
And Coral Sword CCG, comics, coffee, comics, and gaming.
Nice.
And gaming will encompass card gaming, board gaming, and video gaming. So, everything a growing boy or girl
right.
needs in this world.
Right, your daily dose of geekery.
Opening this fall in Houston, Texas. Yeah,
love it.
Kind of thing. I spend a lot of time in Houston, have family down there. Happened to meet the guy, my friend David Buer, who runs all the best coffee houses in Houston, Texas.
Yep.
He's also a huge geek.
Mm-hmm.
So we had joked around a couple years ago about opening up like a coffee, comics, and gaming place.
Right.
We met right fielder for the San Francisco Giants, two-time All-Star, two-time World Series champion, Hunter Pence, who also happens to be a huge geek, very heavily into Magic the Gathering.
Nice.
And he was like, hey, what's this I hear about you guys joking around opening up a comics, coffee, and gaming place? Like, yeah, something we'd been wanting to do. He's like, let's do it.
Right.
And once he was in, man, all bets were off. So,
nice.
Opening this fall in Houston, Texas, Coral Sword, Southeast Houston. Look for it soon.
Right. So now you've been working with the Stash.
Yes.
For, oh God, how long now? Like a decade
Jeez,
or so?
20 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously, you've been working in comic book stores, but now you're running a comic book store. Essentially,
yeah.
running your own comic book store.
Pretty much.
And so how different is that from, say, you know, working in behind the scenes but now running it by yourself?
If you watch Comic Book Men, you see Walt calls all the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kevin owns the store.
Right.
But in my mind, it's always been Walt's store. Walt calls all the shots. So he has all the say, and he does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Try to find me a comic book store. It's been over 20 years. It's very rare these days.
Mm-hmm.
Comic book stores don't really... You don't see a lot of new ones opening up. A lot of them close, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I think in my mind, it's due to you have to separate the fan from the business.
Mm-hmm.
So what Walt does, he never overorders. If you watch the show, a lot of people are like, why is Walt so cheap? He only offers a guy wants $100. Walt offers him $20. It's like, well, if you offer the guy $100, you're not going to sell for $100. You're not going to make any money.
No.
So Walt's a staunch businessman and a lover of comics. Mm-hmm. So he's able to keep a balance between the two.
Yeah, and it's difficult, and especially in that situation. It's like he's got to play businessman, but obviously his love of the comics,
yes.
you know, it's hard to maintain.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Now, I've learned a lot from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be running the store. I won't be there full time. So I'll be going to Houston maybe once a month or more depending on when I'm needed. And we won't have the range of books that we have at the Stash. We just don't have the room at Coral Sword. So it'll be a good mix of, like, the best of the best.
Yeah.
Now, what I like about Coral Sword that we don't do at the store is we don't do gaming.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really do community events there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like the game is like, get in, buy your stuff, get out. Like, I don't want people hanging out till 8:30 at night. We close at 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, come in for your books. Look at them, you know, come grab a photo with us if you want one.
Mm-hmm.
If you want an autograph from us, we're happy to autograph anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't do community-oriented events there. That's half the reason I'm becoming involved in Coral Sword. It's like, I want to play Magic there.
Right.
I want to do Mario Kart tournaments.
So,
I want people to hang out there. I want it to be a spot... I want to be a spot where I would hang out, and it's going to be a spot where I'm going to be hanging out.
Oh, yeah, no.
So that's where it differs, and that's where I'm... that's where, you know, I want to inject more community events.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I always, like, when I go to a comic book store, I mean, yeah, obviously I'm in there to buy comics.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you have the upside of, oh, hey, I could play Magic the Gathering, and I can immerse myself in that for hours at a time. I mean, yes, I'm obviously going to walk in and buy something. That's the polite thing to do if you're going to take up space in there. But, so, obviously, comic book fan, as you are.
Oh, yeah.
So, I also read that you were a fan of Preacher, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, one of my favorite comic probably my favorite book comic book series. So, I got to ask you a question. So, have you been watching the adaptation?
I have, yeah.
All right, what do you think?
It's different. Mm-hmm. It's actually very different. They're taking the best elements, putting it into the show. At first, I was like, "Wow, this is kind of weird." But I'm starting. I started to like it as they got near the end. I saw what they're doing with it. So you know, obviously, they can't get as heavy as the comic books.
Right.
Comic book, very graphic.
Yes.
Which is, you know, is half the reason why I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. Though, was that was about when Preacher came out. It was about the time I was getting back into comics. Mm-hmm. I had fallen out for a little bit, and the comic store I was going to at the time was this new comic book store opened up where I was living in Michigan. I went there and I'm like, where's all your Marvel and DC? Where's like Captain America? Where are your guys in tights? And they were like, oh, we don't carry that. But what we do have is this new company called Image. You gotta read like this new book called Spawn. They had DC Vertigo. It was like, read this is what we're into. Read it. If you don't like it, all right, you know, fine. But we think you're gonna like this. And I did. And that comic book store is called Vault of Midnight. Now one of the biggest comic book stores in the country. But yeah, you know, they took a gamble on. They're like, "Listen, we're just gonna carry the stuff that we like to carry.
Right.
And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, well, you know, at least we protect our integrity." And it worked out. Now they carry DC and Marvel, obviously. But
well, you know, they see the trends.
And that's
important, especially in the comic book world, because obviously you can stay on the path of just picking in the big two.
Yeah.
But people are going to get bored of that.
Yeah.
You got to bring it, varieties to spice of life.
Yeah, and that's when the more kind of heavier stories were taking off. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate them for sticking true to their guns. But Preacher was one they steered me to. And I just remember, I was like, whoa, this is a character arts face in this? Mm-hmm. Like, this ain't Superman. Like, you know, and I loved it. And I still love it. And I never thought I'd see a live action. So I'm so happy to see it. You know, and it happens to be on the same that way Comic Book Men is on. That's pretty awesome.
Oh well, so speaking of Comic Book Men, obviously season 7 has been announced.
Insane,
right?
Insane.
I mean, I love the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. I'm glad we're getting, you know, obviously from that reviewing that side of the table, you know, of the counter, I should say, because obviously, you know, we've all been, you know, in comic book stores.
Sure.
Obviously, seeing the other side. Seeing, you know, you guys run the store, run events, trying to find, you know, comic books that, you know, you're not expecting.
Right.
You know? And it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad that it's gone 7 seasons. I hope it goes for 7 more.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
But, so, obviously, it's been running for 7 seasons. What are you guys looking to do this season that you maybe haven't done before?
Here's the thing is, we feature, you know, vintage comics, which is great. The toys, the old toys is what I'm really into. Because we either feature toys that I used to have and I no longer have anymore and I want to get back, or toys that I longed for and couldn't afford and I hadn't seen in a while and then came back and was like, oh my god, I wanted this as a kid. Now I can buy it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the downside is buying back your childhood is very expensive.
Yes.
Toys that you once wanted that cost maybe $24.99 back in the day are now $224.99.
Oh, I believe
if you want to buy it, and you know, and I want the box.
Everything.
I want the experience that I missed out on as a kid, getting a new box and opening up and putting the stickers on, and all of that. Yes. But unfortunately, buying vintage toys in box very, very expensive.
I know exactly what you mean. I was in Brooklyn for a convention. Oh God, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And we were waiting for the con to open, so we had some time. We went to this collectibles store, and it ended up being like half comic book store, half collectibles, which was great. Wasn't what I was expecting.
Right.
And I saw a vintage in-box Slave One from the original 1982 line of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, how much?
It was $225.
Yeah, I'm like, dude.
I understand it. I mean, I found a beat-up one in Atlanta a year earlier for like $20.
Right.
But half the stuff was missing off of it.
In my head, it's still 1982, and that toy should be $24.99. It's not. Not the case anymore.
I would love it if that was the case, but I also saw the 77 Death Star.
Yeah.
The whole thing in box. That was like $400.
Yeah, so my goal each season is just to feature more toys that came from either my childhood or somebody's childhood.
Okay.
That just opens up those floodgates of nostalgia.
Okay. Okay. So what's the dream toy? What's the toy that you haven't found yet, or you're looking
Oof,
for?
God, man, we've featured so much. Like a lot of it's coming. My previous dream toy was the USS Flag from the G.I. Joe line.
Nice.
And I bought that on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What? There are a couple of things. There was a Sears exclusive Cobra base that was made out of cardboard that I only saw once in my life, and I never saw it again. I begged my mom to buy it, and she didn't, and I never saw it again. It was a little short-run Sears exclusive that never came back again, and that's one of the things I would like to see. There are a multitude of Star Wars toys that haven't come on yet. Surprisingly, we haven't had the original Millennium Falcon come in yet. I want to see one in box, sealed. I want to see sealed vintage Kenner Star Wars toys.
I would like literally. I'd be like Red Fox. I'd be like, I'm at this is a big one.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. Seriously. It's like, please, for the love of God, just like, don't open it. I don't want like my face melted off.
Yeah. Just. I actually, or G.I. Joe toys inbox sealed because that's like, it's like in carbonite, man. Like you know the, like if you open that box, like the air from 1980 comes out.
Yeah,
you know
like,
that's yeah.
To me, is that must. No, that's nostalgic.
And
that's
like every song, very rarely, every so often they have what's called a warehouse find, where they'll find a case of unopened like Kenner toys that someone forgot about that was in the back of a warehouse somewhere. Yeah, and, like a case, a full case of them, where there's like a dozen like Slave Ones in there, a dozen Millennium Falcons, or a dozen like Darth Vaders, unpunched cards, like you know what? Yeah, like that's the stuff I dream about.
I know,
man.
Right? It's just like that's like if anything was gonna give me a heart attack, that would have done.
Yeah, just a box that was unaccounted for, and it was someone shoved in the back in a cubby hole somewhere, and somebody just found it now.
Oh man,
that's my dream. That's what I want to see.
So let me ask you a question. So last year you were here as a guest.
Yes.
This year you're here as just an attendee.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out.
Right. So how is that different for? Obviously people are coming up to you.
Yeah.
Saying like, oh, I love the show. You know, like I thought you were here as a guest. I didn't see you on the list.
Yeah, it's not. You know, it's really not that much different. It's actually easier if I just walk around. That you get to see more people that way. I think. Yeah.
So you just come to cons. You know, obviously, you know.
Love the environment, and it's cool if you watch the show and like if you want a photo, whatever you want, hopefully, you know, you'll either post that online or it's on Rampage.
Nice.
you post a photo online or and people see that, or you just go home and like, hey man, I met the guy from Congman. We talked about Preacher or Star Wars for a while.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That, you know what, when Season 7 rolls back around, you'll hopefully be more apt to watch the show, which means we get to do more. So.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I love the show.
Yeah.
Like I said, I hope it goes on for 7 seasons more. Because, again, where else am I going to get my comic book fixed on television?
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, animated series, maybe one of the movies playing on. Okay, so we've talked collectibles.
Yes.
Talked comics. All right, so let's talk films.
Yes.
What are you excited for coming up?
I'm excited for Spider-Man Homecoming. Definitely I'm excited for Last Jedi.
Yep.
Definitely. There's so much coming out.
Spider-Man Homecoming, especially with Holland dropping the announcement that it's going to be a trilogy of Spider-Man films. I'm really excited to see where they're going to go. Like, who are they going to introduce?
Based on the trailer and the costume, it looks like old school Spider-Man coming back.
Yes.
Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, but I think in my head, like, I watched that guy on screen. Like, this is a pretty boy, man. He's not struggling with girls and bullies. Like, no way, looking like that. I just couldn't separate it.
You know, and it's funny you mention that, because we've talked about this 100 times before on the show at one point or another. And we're always like, you know what? There's never been a character who's played Spider-Man who's married both Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Tobey Maguire, great Peter Parker.
Right.
Kind of not that great a Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield, great Spider-Man. Not so great a Peter Parker.
Yeah.
I feel like Tom Holland is marrying the two together.
I think Tom Holland nails it.
Homecoming will be the one to prove it.
Yeah. And I love love that Tony Stark is in it. I love that the suit is a Stark Technologies production. I
also love that his pseudo suit. I mean, obviously, once he loses the suit, sort of looks Scarlet Spider esque.
Yep, exactly.
And I mean, I love me some Ben Reilly. I'm excited about that. So.
I love the Steve Ditko eyes, and then there's a shot in the trailer. He's got the web under the arm.
Exactly. So I was not expecting that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh. And he's like gliding. Oh,
yeah.
It was so good.
It makes your heart beat. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
A little faster.
It's definitely exciting. So, anything else you're excited about? Have you seen Wonder Woman yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Wonder Woman was fantastic.
Yes.
Not totally unexpected, but as a DC movie, mm-hmm. you go in with very low expectations.
Right.
And you go in expecting it to suck because
exactly.
it's a TV movie, and it did not suck. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, they've been trying to get a live action Wonder Woman ever since Linda Carter, the TV show, ended.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't do it right. They tried several times.
Yeah. I mean, Joss Whedon even tried doing it.
Yeah.
And you're like, really, if Joss Whedon can't pull a movie off, how badly is this property being, tried to be? It's staggering to believe with Joss Whedon's success in the superhero films that, even he couldn't bring Wonder Woman to life. How is that possible?
Yeah, but they did excellent fight scenes, excellent plot, fun for all ages, fun for girls and boys.
Great.
And it's great.
I haven't seen it yet, but
oh, man.
It's okay. I'm gonna see it at some point, but it's like the whole time I'm just like, please, just let it be good.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
I need just one DC film.
Yeah, so they're on the right track. I think. And I think DC movies they're on the right path. Like Jeff Johns is overseeing the film division.
Right.
We know he's got chops. He's got cred.
We know he can do it.
We know he can do it.
All right.
But yeah, my hat's off to Patty Jenkins and writer Alan Heinberg, who wrote for the Wonder Woman comics. So,
yep. So
did great. And Chris Pine,
and
Steve Trevor was amazing.
Oh,
and Gal Gadot. No argument there. She is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she was great. She was one of the saving graces in Batman.
Oh yeah,
Superman.
For sure. Yeah,
definitely. All right. So obviously, we appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
Anything you want to plug? I mean, obviously, Comic Book Men season 7.
Yeah, and Comic Men was birthed from podcasting, actually.
Exactly.
Because Kevin started the Smodcast Podcast Network, that we got involved in podcasting. All four of us had podcasts from comic book, or all five of us, actually, have podcasts. So my Mike Zapsik and I do a podcast called I Saw Comics Weekly, where we talk about the weekly comic releases. We do another podcast just simply called The Ming and Mike Show, where we talk about whatever we want, which is great. Walt and Mike have one called Tell Them Steve Dave, so give those a listen. We're fellow podcasters just like you. We love the medium. I love podcasting, man.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point of it. We've always said to each other, when this stops being fun, we just won't do it anymore.
Yep,
but
absolutely.
This is so much fun.
Yeah.
Right? And thank you so much for coming out.
Absolutely,
Your time is, you're busy, obviously, enjoying
the
convention.
No, dude, if I see Mark doing a podcast, I'm sitting in front of I insist on sitting in front of
it. Thank you again for coming out.
Absolutely, man.
I can't thank you enough. Thank you for listening, and thank you. Thank you, Ming Chen. You enjoy the rest of your con, and thank you for listening to Boldly Going Nowhere.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.